Hello, everybody, and welcome to Grim Scenarios. I am your host, Milk, and I'm here with my two very good friends, your co-host slash other host, Emma. Hello, Emma.
Hello.
And our very good friend, Sabanite, my fellow Team Always Rock member. Say hello, Sabanite.
Hello, Sabanite.
You did the thing.
We did the thing.
Well, we are here this week to talk about the little monster. It's a demon. Its ability is, each night minions choose who babies the little monster and is the demon. Each night asterisk, a player might die. Set up brackets, plus one minion. Little monster isn't a player and is instead babysat by a minion. And its flavor text is, step one, be cute. Step two, world domination. Step three, breakfast.
Well, it appears that Sabanite is going to be holding Little Monster for the evening for us, which I think is great, because I know personally, I happen to know this, Little Monster is Sabanite's favoritest character of all.
A couple years ago, Zone Center list of ranking your favorite characters. I do that every couple months, just kind of to gauge where I am on Clock Tower. And Little Monster has never fallen from one.
Well, did we lose Emma?
No.
Is Emma frozen?
She's frozen for me too.
Okay,
I'm not
this
frozen
is fine.
For me.
Everything's
I'm not frozen
fine.
For me. Oh, something's happening now.
She's gone or back. Nope. She's over here.
Hello. I never froze for me. It was a very confusing conversation.
Very exciting.
It's okay. We'll cut this part out.
Yeah. Or leave it in. Isn't that something something?
Yeah,
sausage.
Probably stand. Anyway, yeah. Little Monster. It's interesting that it's your favorite character, because it's a character you cannot beat. That's its whole jam.
Yeah, that's true. I think, part of it is, I don't know, it just kind of always stuck with me. Part of it is the extra, obviously the extra minion, a lot of minion abilities are exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing what the storyteller thinks is the most balanced thing to do and how they kind of want to help influence the kills, I think is also an interesting thing. And I don't know, I think it just kind of always stuck with me as being a character I just love.
It's completely reasonable.
It's a very different character too. There's a lot about it that's very unique.
And there's long-time jokes about how no one really knows how Little Monster works, because a character that's not in play but is in play is a very hard thing for the rules of Clock Tower to wrap their heads around.
Yeah, I think that's another thing that kind of draws me to it. It's more of the run the game as fun and kind of the spirit of the game rather than something strictly rules as written. This is how it has to work all the time.
Yeah. And it's all completely reasonable. Well, I think they should probably dive in into how to play Little Monster.
Which is an awkward conversation.
Which, of course, comes with a caveat that you don't play as Little Monster, you play as a minion.
Yep. So I guess, the first big thing to, talk about is Little Monster isn't one of the characters that you are, but rather, it gives you an extra minion ability.
Yeah. I think it also, when playing Little Monster, it's similar to, Legion in that you kind of want to have... You have to have a minion who's going to look good at the end of the game. And you have a little bit of time to kind of decide amongst the evil team kind of who that is going to be and how you're going to get that done. So it while you don't have the kill agency, you do have the agency of kind of deciding who you want to be in Final Three.
Yeah, it's, I think this is like the fundamental question for Little Monster, right? Because the demon can be any of you three, but at least under the recommended ways to run it, or two or four, however many you are, all of you but one are going to be dead at the end of the game. Because the little monster is supposed to kill off the minions in the night of town as it executes them. So you do have sort of a similar to that Legion thing where you have to figure out which one of you is best positioned to survive each day, and also which one of you is best positioned to survive on Final Three. And these aren't necessarily the same question, because the person who's most likely to get executed tomorrow might be certain to be executed if first, might be completely unlikely to be executed if they survive to Final Three, and vice versa. The Final Three player might be the most likely of the minions to get executed tomorrow, but the least likely to be executed on Final Three. Right?
And I think that is a big part of the fun of Little Monster, and also a pretty substantial part of the strategy of Little Monster, is the day-to-day management of really everybody having a sense of, you know, their social standing in the town, of who's likely to get killed, of what the information is. And this is the part I think is really interesting, is you probably, as the minions, aren't talking to each other every day to sort of share what each of your individual reads on the game is. And so sometimes you really have to take a leap of faith when the other two minions are trying to tell you you should be holding the little monster. Sometimes they know something you don't, and sometimes they don't realize what you know. And so there's this interesting kind of something I really love in Clock Tower is when you don't necessarily have to communicate with your teammates. Like, you can just kind of trust that they're seeing the game the same way you are. And I think Little Monster thrives in that space of that kind of, it's like playing the mind, you know, for those of you who don't know, the mind is
it's a worse version of the gang. Don't worry about it.
It's a different version of the gang. But the important thing is it's a silent game where you have to collaborate with your team without saying or indicating something. And I think Little Monster is sometimes like the mind, where you feel like you have to sort of telepathically send to everyone else, no, I can't hold the baby today. Seriously, there's a fortune teller ping on me.
Yeah, and I think part of that charm you get more of in person than online. Because like in online, obviously, when you're choosing Little Monster, you just kind of have the like little target and the pointer, and then you're pointing. But, like, in person, you can really just, like, point really hard at someone or, like, shake your head no, cross over your neck to say, I absolutely can't do it. Which, similar to, like, general, where you can kind of emphasize the thumb if you really need to. It's another part of the game where the game is all just so good in person. And it's just another character that has like kind of niche things in person that you don't get to do online.
Yeah. So let's talk what happened to extra minion, Billy, because I think there's positives and negatives you should think through with that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And obviously the caveat is what sort of minions exist, right? If it's Poisoner, Godfather, not Godfather, if it's like Poisoner, Ms. Ephelis, Scarlet Woman, maybe like the downsides of having extra minion abilities aren't readily apparent. But if it's like Psychopath, Serenovus, Harpy, it's going to be really clear to people. Always in default two minion mindset, but I shouldn't be, especially for this. But like in a two minion game, if it's like Serenovus, Harpy, Psychopath, it's going to be really clear that there's too many minion abilities in play.
Yeah, I mean, right, even in a one minion game, they're going to hear two loud minions, so it's still going to be the same problem, right?
Yeah.
So I guess the question is like how do you as an evil team manage that? Because there are ways that you can try to mitigate the number of pings? How important is it to hide that Lil Monsta is in play?
Yeah. Like you said, you can try to mitigate the pings. Maybe if, for example, you have a Harpy, a Cernovus, and a Witch, maybe the Witch doesn't, like, curses themselves. They know they're not going to nominate, tries to sink it for a couple days so that town isn't expecting a Witch, isn't playing around it, and then late game, the Witch can curse someone and get a surprise acceleration. Maybe the Harpy or the Cernovus can kind of stick on one person for a little bit to hide it. Maybe there's a Pit Hag on the script, and you can kind of hide your one of the madnesses for a day or two, then kind of trade off on hiding them. That can look interesting and maybe make it look like another demon. And then also, sometimes who cares, right? Like, if, like,
yeah.
So what if they know it's Lil Monsta? They still have to find and kill the minions. That just makes, maybe they treat the fortune teller a little less seriously. Maybe the fortune teller dies early because they don't believe that their info is useful.
Yeah, maybe they chase minions more aggressively. You know, sometimes towns are less aggressive about chasing minions. Maybe knowing it's Lil Monsta means you sort of look for any evils to try to chase. You kill into double claims, things like that, hoping to kind of catch out a minion and limit the number of spaces that that the Lil Monsta has to go, which we'll get to when we talk about fighting the Lil Monsta. You know, what are some ways that you can mitigate the risk? Do you think it's worth trying to fake a different demon being in play instead of Lil Monsta? Is there value in trying to hide Lil Monsta broadly in general? And maybe are there specific situations where you want to hide Lil Monsta?
I think, like, in general, it's, you sort of want to hide, because one of the benefits of Lil Monsta is the hidden benefit to evil players dying at night. When they're either seeming good or seeming like, I don't know. Because dying at night can buy you, especially in that middle category, when they're in the, I don't know if this player's good, I don't know if this player's evil, they're in the sort of, I don't know range. Those players die at night frequently when they're good, and it creates trust and validates their information. So if you want to sell a bluff really well, like when one of your minions who's in that zone dies at night because Lil Monsta bites at the hand that feeds it.
Yep.
Like, you don't want people discounting the trust they get by suspecting it's a Lil Monsta game, right?
Yeah.
You want them to get that full social trust benefit of dying at night.
Yeah, and a little bit of, like, vigor mortis best practice applies here to some extent, right? Like, when you're a Lil Monsta minion that dies at night, you know, now you can pull out your, oh, I was the sweetheart, oh, I was a plague doctor, you know, type stuff. Or, you know, it can verify your information. Oh, you know, I was the Oracle or the Undertaker, and I think the person who we executed yesterday was evil, you know, so they came after me because I had told some people my role. You know, you can get into using those kinds of, hey, I've been killed off by the demon, you know, kind of bluffing strategies.
Yeah, and another reason to, like, try to hide that it's a Lil Monsta is, like we said earlier, the story, like, you're going to have the end game is a minion that you're basically who's trying to hide the demon. So you want to look like a minion. But if you're like looking like a minion, the worst case, then, and it's Lil Monsta, their town's going to try to kill you. Whereas if you look like a minion and someone else looks more like a demon in Final 3, then they're going to kill the person who looks like a demon, not a minion, if they don't think it's Lil Monsta. So I think almost always you want to try to hide it as long as you can.
Yeah, like most good characters that detect alignment, not all of them, but most of them, will distinguish between minion and demon things. If you think of the three main alignment checkers in Trouble Croon, Fortune Teller, Empath, and Investigator. One's a minion checker, one's a demon checker, one's a generic evil checker. But that means 67% of them are either minion or demon checkers, right? It's similar in Sex and Violets. That's a little different in Sex and Violets, actually. But lots of evil and lots of good information is going to turn on this person's a minion, this person's a demon. So if you can hide little monster, but you've been registering as a minion the entire game to the evil detectors, they're just not going to kill you in Final 3 because you're just a minion. Whereas if they know it's a monster, they know they need to kill a minion. The person they think is a minion who's alive looks much more spicy.
I think it's really important, and not everybody's prepared for this. So, like, this is something that you sometimes have to, like, kind of psych yourself up for a little bit and, like, really kind of get the feel for. You really have to, with Lil Monsta, be adaptable as a minion to the circumstances of the social and information game that's going on around you. You might not have wanted to be the designated survivor at the beginning of the game. You might not even have played, like, trying to look like the one who's not going to get killed at the end of the game. But ultimately, you might have to be the one who carries it at the end of the game. And I think it's really important for minions to not get stuck in a strategy of, like, oh, I'm going to look like the demon. Well, what if you get killed on, you know, day 3 and the game keeps going and you're the one who's looking like a minion, right? You have to think about, okay, it seems like the game is turning here. And you really have to, everybody almost has to have the kind of demon mindset of adapting to the information as it's being presented so that you can make sure that you're presenting the type of evil character you want to end up being read as much as possible anyway. And simultaneously building that world with your false information. Or you want to try to be aligning your world with whatever the predominant strategy that gets you out of the game at the end is. I wanted to ask a specific question, and there's a jinx that's relevant to this, so I'm just going to go ahead and mention it. So the Lil Monsta and Scarlet Woman now have a jinx, which is if Lil Monsta dies with 5 or more players alive, the Scarlet Woman babysits Lil Monsta for the rest of the game. So when the Scarlet Woman catches the Lil Monsta, it does cost you your ability to move the Lil Monsta for the rest of the game. My question is, you know, in terms of handing the baby to the good team, which I know is something that people like to do, how do we square that? What's a useful time to do that? What's a time when you might want to do that? And what is a time when maybe it's a little bit frivolous to do that?
You want to do it a lot less now, but the jinx for Scarlet Woman has changed. Scarlet Woman was the main reason to do that.
Yeah.
Because you could put it there, and if the good player got themselves executed, they would just move on. You could still do that, but you only have it on one shot. You can't do that, like, on a recurring basis. But there are still reasons to do it, I think. There are various characters on scripts that can make the baby safe with a good player. If Heretic is on the script, for example, if Devil's Advocate's on the script, you could coordinate this and protect someone, then send the baby, then take it away. But basically what you need is you need good reasons that the good team won't want to execute. So the person says, hey, I was handed a little monster last night.
Yeah, and I think that can even be... there's also... In addition to, like, mechanical things, there's also social things. Like, maybe you hand it to a dreamer or something on day 2. Like, they might out that. And they might not want to die because if they might believe it's a Scarlet Woman, they might not think they're going to hold it. So you can kind of use it, like, in the early and mid game, as long as the Scarlet Woman's still active, as a way to kind of force a town execution on a powerful, maybe a confirmed town. That's another thing. Obviously, it's a lot less effective now. I think this is probably a healthy change for the game. This is a dark day for me. This very fresh update.
Another valuable part of that is whoever's holding the baby, quote unquote, is the demon, right? and registers as the demon for abilities. So putting the baby on a good player can also just make them seem suspicious, right? If they're checked by a fortune teller, for example, if they vote for a flower girl, you know, they can prove that they have the baby, but also they're registering as the demon. And crucially, a minion isn't.
Yeah. Something we haven't talked about in terms of playing Little Monster is, of course, that Little Monster character, but evil teens don't get any bluffs whatsoever. Absent, like, the snitch obviously changes that. So, how do you play as evil when you know there's no, like, safety net claims you can definitely fall back to? Because that is the essence of Little Monster.
Yeah. Honestly, evil teams, by, like, day two or three, generally have a pretty good idea of what's in play anyway. And between the three of them, someone's probably got at least the space to back into something that's not in play. But you can take some big swings sometimes, just hard claim something. Worst case, you look like a minion double claiming someone. And then if you're the designated carrier into Final Three and town doesn't think it's Lil Matsa, hey, you're a minion who's double claiming someone. What demons double claim people? And like, there's also a lot of times with Lil Matsa scripts, there's going to be built-in reasons. Maybe you were Serenovus mad as something and the Serenovus died or moved on or whatever. Maybe there's a pixie and you just kind of bumped into whoever. Maybe you're the farmer and you're just claiming something high value for a couple days to try to die at night. There's a lot of reasons to change claims in Clock Tower. Both good and evil players lie all the time for perfectly reasonable reasons.
Something we've talked about on the podcast before as well is players changing their claims sort of counterintuitively is often a sign that those players are good. It's good players who are going to be cagey about their claims much of the time. Now, it is going to be somewhat script dependent, right? There's going to be some roles that are more likely to, you know, claim something, get into double claims, claim not their role. There's, you know, also times when being in double claims kind of does make you look evil, and you sort of have to navigate the threat of that. In the case of our exemplar here, we have Lil Monster and Legion on here, two different demons that both kind of end up causing double claims in different ways, right? And so, you know, that's kind of okay too, because at least you're not looking like, oh, it's definitely Lil Monster because we don't have claims. Good players back out of claims. Evil players should be more comfortable backing out of claims and falling back into something. It's a natural part of the game.
Any other big ticket points we want to catch on playing as the Little Monster? Or on an evil team with Little Monster more accurately?
Sabanite, did you have something else that you kind of wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I think it's worth remembering that while it's important that there's someone on the evil team who is likely to make it to Final Three or who looks good, that doesn't have to be the same person every day or even the same person at the start of the day as it is at the end of the day. Sometimes social conversations, social reads happen throughout the day, and when you're on an evil team with Lil Monster, you really need to pay attention to the social sways of town and be adaptable. And if you weren't expecting to have to soft out evil today, maybe you were expecting to be the Legion carry or Lil Monster carry in Final Three, but maybe someone said, maybe you're whoever's holding Lil Monster slipped up with something they said, and your third or fourth teammate needs to be the end game carry. Sometimes you have to make bigger plays in order to get through the days.
Yeah, my other takeaway would be, in terms of Lil Monster being a demon where the storyteller chooses kills, that doesn't let evil off the hook from investigating and figuring out what's going on in the game, right? You still have to investigate the game. You still have to find the information. You still have to try to figure out people's roles. You still have to do all the typical evil team things. Sometimes you may need to communicate to the storyteller, hey, I think this person is this role and it's really important that we get them out of there. Or I think this person is really socially trusted. You know, the storyteller may not follow your lead, but giving the storyteller indications of who you want killed can't hurt. It really can't hurt your team. It's pretty important that you do try to still figure out the game. The storyteller is going to make kills based on the game balance, but they're also going to make kills, you know, based on what they think you know, or what they think the world that you're building is, or what they think you want. And remember, they're also probably going to have to kill off, you know, potentially at least one, maybe two minions in the game. So you're going to lose kills on good players in those kills as well.
I think that's all pretty good advice. Let's move on to the next topic we have, which is how to fight the little monster.
Oh.
You're a good player on the little monster script. How do you go about figuring out it's a little monster game and fighting the little monster?
It's like whack-a-mole, isn't it? Like in some ways, it really is just like that. No, it's over here. No, it's over here. No, it's over here. Like, sometimes chasing it is just... I mean, it can be fun, but it can definitely be hard for a good team to put together the pile of information they need to try to lock down where that pesky little monster is.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest pieces of advice that I can give to a good team in a little monster game is kill evil players. Like, you don't always have to kill demon candidates, because most evil teams are going to be framing good players as demon candidates. Like, that's their job, right? So if in games you're so concerned about killing demon candidates, well, you're also going to be killing good players, and you only have in 12 players, that's what, 5 executions, right? You're going to need to kill 3 evil players. The storytell, you can expect is a strong word, but the guidance is that the storyteller will kill at least one, maybe two minions if the evil team is stomping quite hard. If you're going into final 3 with multiple evils, that's kind of not what's expected in a little monster game. But that doesn't mean you can not kill evil players. Like, you need to be killing evil players, just because they look like, because they're an investigator ping, or maybe they're a town crier. Yes, and you don't know if it's little monster. Maybe it's the quiet little monster script that Emma mentioned with like a baron, a mez, and a poisoner. That's harder to track, but as long as you're killing evil players, you're still killing a mez. You're still killing a poisoner. Like, it's good to kill evil players.
Yeah. This is actually, I think this brings up an interesting point that the wiki highlights, which I think is good advice, but I'm not sure it's fun gameplay. Which is, if you're confident it's a little monster game, you're confident you found an evil player, you can just not tell anyone. You can even say you think they're good. You can try to trick town and the storytellers not into executing the storyteller into not killing them at night. And then you get to final 3 and you're like, yeah, I've known this player's evil the entire game. It's a little monster game. Dead one is still alive. We have to kill them. This is how I know there is evil. And I think the wiki is correct that that's in the Kembian of the strategy. I think. I see more often Legion. When you try to force the known Legion into final 3 by killing the ambiguous ones. And it's devastating to Legion a lot of the time. Do you think that's fun?
I think it's a little bit group dependent, to some extent. I think most of the time, if the storyteller catches on that you're trying to keep this person alive that you think is evil. Like, the storyteller knows your information, but they might not know your social reads. So unless it's like a clean social read that you're using to make that determination, most of the time the storyteller is gonna tidy that up with killing minions, you know, so that they don't end up holding, the suspicious minion doesn't end up holding Lil Monsta in Final Three. I think that is part of like that ability of killing your own teammates, is you kill off the ones that aren't going to be viable demon frame, that aren't going to be, you know, that are not going to be a viable survivor at the end of the game. So if you think someone is caught on to an evil and is trying to keep them alive, most of the time your storyteller is going to kill that. Most of the time a storyteller is not going to leave you that. I don't particularly think it's fun. And I think it can feel bad for that player specifically to sort of get, you know, kind of carried along for days and days thinking that they're, you know, they're in a good place. Some groups may find that, you know, to be a really tactical choice. I'm not sure I do.
Yeah, I think I end up in the same place as Milk. I'm not going to tell people what they find fun or how they have to find fun. But I don't think that's necessarily what I'm looking for in a game of Clock Tower. I think I'm looking more for the journey. And if someone has the answer to the puzzle and they found it day two, and then we're executing on day six, like the rest of us are finding out on day six. That's not like a satisfying conclusion to the puzzle for me.
Another thing, okay. I think is... Sorry, go ahead, Emma.
No. You didn't ask a question.
Another thing I think is interesting is one of the ways I find... and again, there's some similarities with Legion, I guess. You know, one of the things I find is interesting in Lil Monsta is sometimes you can catch out evil players because their socials sort of change substantially from day to day. For example, you might have a player who's like really okay to be killed today, and then 2 days from now, they're like, no, I really don't want to die. And obviously good players are going to do that too. But, you know, if a player sort of wildly swings from being okay with dying to not wanting to die today, to being okay with dying, to not wanting to die today, you know, you may have found a minion that's sort of getting Lil Monsta bounced onto or off of them. So you should kind of pay attention, not just in the individual day, but over the course of a game. Like, was somebody like really, really nervous about getting killed on day one, and then they kind of, you know, they got lifted, you know, or something, and then, you know, and then they got killed a little bit later, or they didn't get killed a little bit later, and other players that were kind of voting on that, you know, you can kind of track this sort of willingness to die quotient, I guess, that kind of attaches to, is this person holding Lil Monsta?
Yeah, it's kind of like the general in that way. Like, the important thing isn't their state right now. It's kind of the journey they've been on. You can, like, generally good players will kind of settle pretty early on their end state of where they want to be. Like, whether they're okay being executed, whether they really need to not be, for whatever reasons. And then obviously towards the end of the game, most people just want to stay alive because there's only so many executions. But with, like you said, with Lil Monsta, with Legion, since the evil team isn't necessarily sure who is going to be like their demon at the end of the game, it's kind of hard to pin down your state of when you're kind of set and willing to die.
Yeah. I think that's all very fair. Like, and I think it's a clue to identifying this little monster game, right? More than anything else. It doesn't help you necessarily solve it, but that the first step to solving anything is identifying it. I think the other big thing with fighting Lil Monsta is, of course, both figuring out how to track extra minion abilities and how to build words for extra minion abilities, right? So sometimes it's obvious, like, it's a one minion game and there's both a Harpy and a Cernovus. that's going to be pretty clear. Easy done. But if, like, the extra minion is a poisoner, you need to develop your skills at figuring out, okay, we have too much information that's not working. Even if I say these two people are evil and this person's the drunk, doesn't explain this, what happened to this person over here. We must have an extra poison, a minion ability in play that's the poison, right? You need to practice your skills at doing that stuff, because that's how you find out that it's a monster a lot of the time, is by figuring out how to build the extra minion ability into play, even if it's a quiet one.
And this is going to apply to, you know, a lot of different things. It's not just sort of backtracking poison or something. You know, it's not just counting how many madness abilities are in play, right? It seems like there might be a wizard wish that's going on, but there's not like a blatant clue that the storyteller has given. It's not like there was an announcement, or we really had good information that this one player was the demon and we killed them and the game didn't end, right? That kind of points at there being a Scarlet Woman, right? So there are a lot of minions that you can sort of detect depending on, you know, to some extent, like the kind of narrative of the game, right? And kind of compiling information. I do also think it's probably, you know, directly kind of related to this minion chasing and figuring out what minions are in play. I think there's also something to be said for sharing out information a little bit early can help you chase down minions. And you need to chase down minions in a little monster game, right? And so getting those kind of direct information that points at evil players, you're probably going to have to do it earlier because you really do want to try to chase some of those evils early. Maybe you catch the little monster out, right? Maybe you just catch them one day when they think they've got a player who's clean, but you got a village idiot evil on them, right? And you just kind of chase that information. So when you do have direct pings, it's really important in little monster games, especially, to get that information out there.
Yeah, and I also think it's, like, to kind of follow up with that, it's also important to, for some characters, you can kind of sit on the information, like a town crier, yes, you can kind of sit on it a little bit, because you know there's a minion amongst how many people, a village idiot evil, maybe you can sit on it, but a fortune teller, yes, you kind of need to go into that, or
you gotta go,
right, like... if you kind of pinpointed down someone in a flower girl, yes, but it's a
the
little
flower
less
girl is
solid.
Borderline useless in a little
bit. Yeah, yeah, it's a little less. So sometimes you can kind of triangulate it like a flower girl, yes, with town crier information. Like if those stars align, you kind of got to go. But it's another thing, like Little Monster also kind of, like Milk said, encourages sharing your information. So, like, which is kind of just a good thing to do when good in general. Like, don't be so precious about your information.
Yeah. I do think, like, just like script awareness, and we haven't talked about selecting a script for Little Monster. We'll get to that. But I think script awareness is really huge for playing Little Monster, right? If there is a flower girl on script, the evil team needs to move that baby a lot. Right, like, and simultaneously, if you're a townsfolk who's trying to fight Little Monster, look at the script. If there's a flower girl in that script, that flower girl's probably, if it's a Little Monster game and the flower girl seems to be getting consistent information, right, the evil team probably hasn't left the baby on one player in a flower girl game. You know, if the flower girl's getting consistent information, it might not be a Little Monster. Right, so you might be able to determine if it's a Little Monster game based on, oh, the flower girl information seems all over the place, that might be a Little Monster game. Flower girl information is pretty stable, maybe not Little Monster. You know, things like that. You can kind of pay attention to things like that and look for how the evil team is going to respond to the information that's available to town to find the demon. I I think we're probably going to talk quite a bit about storytelling, Little Monster here, because there are quite a few factors involved in it.
Oh, there's a few more things I wanted to get into in spite of them and stuff.
Oh, okay. My fault. Go ahead.
Sure. Another thing you have to do is you have to understand what evil things mean down in a Little Monster game than you do in a normal game. In a normal game, you're looking for things that locate you the deer, whether it's positive or negative demon location. The demon's not in the investigative ping most of the time. The demon's not registering as a town crier, yes. The demon's not cleared by the snake charmer. The demon's not cleared by the fortune teller. Or the demon is cleared, not cleared by the fortune teller. The demon said, ping's the fortune teller, right? You have to sort of put all those normal skills away with Little Monster. Because you're now just looking for things that either specifically identify minions or things that identify evil generically. Not things that rule people out from being the demon or make people demon candidates. And this is very different from normal culture. It's extremely different and it's extremely important. We talked a little bit about Flower Girl. Flower Girl requires, like, Flower Girl. For Flower Girl to be effective, it requires Flower Girl to get extremely lucky or to get multiple bays of information to narrow down their Flower Girl yes to a few people. This doesn't work with Little Monster if the demon moves and one day the player generates Flower Girl yes, the next day a different player generates Flower Girl yes, and the next day a third player has the Flower Girl yes. All while making it look like it's a consistent voter who's good. Right? So you really need to think about a lot of these rules differently. You need to use them differently. You need to understand, okay, my Flower Girl information, probably not that important to solving a Little Monster game. Maybe it helps you identify that it is a Little Monster game, but it doesn't help you find the demon once you have. Town Crier, on the other hand, much stronger character when fighting Little Monster than it is when fighting a Fangu. Anyway, wanted to get that, make sure we covered that for it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. If you think you're a Little Monster game, make sure to think about your abilities, you know, as they relate to Little Monster differently, right? You want to chase generic evil pings. You want to chase minion pings. You want to worry less about direct demon pings. And if you're using and we don't have that here on this script, but if you're using like a generate your own, create your own information type ability, something like a savant or an artist or a gossip, I guess not savant as much, but you know, if you're getting that kind of storyteller created information, or if you're using create your own information, think about the fact that it could be Little Monster when you ask the question, right? The generic artist question of, is one of these players the demon, is not as useful in a Little Monster game as it is in a game with a static demon. The Little Monster will move every day, you know, potentially, and your information becomes outdated real fast. Oh, okay, good. We've done it. We've given you all you need to know, fellow residents of Ravenswood Bluff. You too can defeat the Little Monster.
Right. Now we can move on to Story Hill and Little Monster. And as we've talked about on this podcast, when you want a storytelling experimental character, first thing you need to do is go and find a skirt or write a skirt for that character, because unlike characters from the base 3, the game doesn't come with them a nice printed paper for you. For now, you have to make them up. And for some of them, that'll always be the case, even when the expansions come out one day. There's, I think, already more experimental characters. It's close. There's close to enough experimental characters to theoretically fill out 3 expansions, but we know TPI doesn't want any individual expansion more than 50% spoiled by the pre-release experimenters. So what do you look for in a Little Monster script?
The first thing I'm looking for, the first thing I'm looking at is the minion suite. If I'm looking for something specifically as a little monster, like I'm planning to run for little monster, because obviously, little monster is all minions. And then the next thing I'm looking at is the other demons to see kind of how they interact with whatever minions. If I'm looking for something with loud minions, like maybe a harpy, a Cernovus, a witch, like we talked about earlier, I'm probably not going to be super excited to also have a script with Legion. I think generally Lil Mutz and Legion pair well together, but it's hard for Legion to have worlds where there's three very loud minions, especially one like a witch that kind of only activates during the day. And Lil Monster, I think, really shines when either all of the minions are quiet or all of the minions are loud. It gives the evil team more agency to try to hide the loud minions if they're all loud. And it gives them the agency to kind of sneak around with the quiet minions if they're quiet.
Yeah. Though I do think Lil Monster also sort of enables to some degree sort of the mixed loudness minion scripts in a way most demons don't. Just to say what I'm talking about here, like on the one hand you have like the trouble brewing minions. The trouble brewing minions thrive because it's never certain which minion is unfamiliar.
Yep.
No matter what info you have on trouble brewing, you're never certain which minion is in play. If you think about sex and violence, violets, these minions literally do not care the good team knows they are in play. Their abilities are premised on the idea that the good team will know they are in play. Then on the extreme end, you have stuff like the psychopath and the vizier, which not only does the good team know they're in play, they know exactly who they are. Most of the time, that the reason that mixing loudness doesn't work is because when you put, say, the poisoner next to the psychopath and the pit hag and the vizier, well, half the poisoner's ability is you're never sure it's really there. And if there's a pit hag and a vizier doing their stuff, well, suddenly it's pretty clear there's not a poisoner there, right? Whereas Little Monster bridges that gap a little bit, right? With a Little Monster script, you can have in a two-minion game with Pithag and a Vizier out there doing loud stuff, and the good team still has to worry about the fact that they might be poisoned. So I do think, like, I take your point well saying that, but I also think a Little Monster does allow, in a script selection process, if you want to experiment a little bit with the mixed loudness minions, Little Monster is one of the tools that you can use to get there.
I think a tricky thing that that can happen with Little Monster, and our exemplar script here is Dusk in the House of the Damned by Shade. Here you have two minions which are loud. I mean, Harpy is loud. Wizard is usually loud. Goblin is also fairly loud, but it can choose when to be loud. And so, you know, you can kind of get away with having sort of three loud minions and then one sort of ambiguous minion, so that if the loudness of two of the minions kind of comes up, you might not know what the third one is. You do have to be able to hide the loudness of one of the minions, right? That's the tricky thing. And it does depend on player count. A Lil Monster with in a 13 to 15 player game, a Lil Monster is going to have all four minions in play. But, you know, here, Harpy and Wizard can be loud, and then Goblin or Scarlet Woman can be quiet, and the town might not know, immediately at least, that it's a Lil Monster game. So I actually think it can, I agree with Sabanite that I think it can definitely work with all loud or all quiet minions. I think it loves all quiet minions. I think I agree with Emma also that you can sort of split the difference, and that it's okay to sometimes, like, leave it ambiguous as to whether it's a Lil Monster, but have some other loud minion stuff going on. It's likely that town will figure out at some point that it's a Lil Monster game, just either based on the kill pattern or, you know, based on, you know, eventually somebody claims Goblin, you know, type thing. But I think it does bear a lot. One thing I would kind of say is that looking at other demons that are on the script with Lil Monsta, be cautious about overloading the script with mobility. I think if you have a script where you have Lil Monsta and Imp and Fangu, maybe a barber or a Scarlet Woman, like you can get to a point with it where it's really hard for the town to ever kind of catch up to the evil team. And so I would just be cautious about adding too much sort of demon escape or demon mobility. What do you look for in good player or good characters that fit well with Lil Monsta? Are there some things that kind of don't fit very well with Lil Monsta? I guess is probably a question that's worth asking.
Like we talked about earlier, Flower Girl doesn't really. I tried to come up with a way, like, you have a Town Crier, yes, and a Flower Girl, yes, on one person, and that information, like, maybe.
Yeah.
But anything that, like, requires multiple days of information to kind of determine if someone is the demon doesn't really work. But you're looking for, like, kind of stronger... stronger evil or minion information to give town a chance to find it. Savant, I think, works quite well, to your point earlier. From the storyteller sheet, you can kind of craft whatever information you think is useful to help find the evil team. And you can also use the false half to kind of build your other world of the demons, you know, the imp or whatever. Snake Charmer is one that doesn't really work with Lil Monsta. I'm okay with, like, Snake Charming's ending games, kind of. But it's a lot harder for a Snake Charmer it's a lot harder when a Snake Charmer gets a minion ability and then kind of just waits up with the new evil team. And doesn't really get a chance. No one really gets a chance to kind of communicate with each other. And maybe the minions are confused when it happens. In my experience.
If you wake up, if you snake charm the little monster and you become a minion and then you wake up with your fellow minions, you're holding the baby for the rest of that game.
for sure. Yeah. But like in my experience, it's never been, like, a super pleasant time when it's happened in games I've been in. It even less so than, like, Night 1 or Night 2's Nate Charmings. It just kind of feels more deflating. It's weird to, like... It's kind of hard to pinpoint, like, why, but...
I really don't like... I think Pit Hag is a role that I don't think really works great with Lil Monsta. And I think one of the reasons why is that you really have quite a lot less to do as the Pit Hag. One of the valuable things a Pit Hag can do is they can move the demon, right? They can move the demon onto another player. They can move the demon token onto another player. And in a Lil Monsta game, you kind of already can do that. The evil team sort of already has that ability baked in. So it's not really working. Like, it doesn't work that great with the Pit Hag's ability. And then, you know, something that sometimes people do, and I'm just going to give a caution here, is sometimes people use the Pit Hag to create minion abilities on good players to remove their townsfolk abilities. And you shouldn't do that as a Pit Hag in a Lil Monsta game, because minions wake together to pick who's holding the baby. And if you make a good Serenovus in a Lil Monsta game, that good player will wake up and see... who's holding the baby? So I think Pit Hag has a little bit less to do. I think it doesn't, like, fit super well with the Lil Monsta. Making Lil Monstas is also super awkward. If you have a different demon and you make a Lil Monsta, the guidance kind of encourages the storyteller to kill your demon and then have the two minions decide who's going to hold Lil Monsta between them. And it can kind of feel bad for the demon who's now kind of cut out of the Lil Monsta choice for the rest of the game. Not just because they're dead, but because they don't wake because they're a demon. So it's something else worth thinking about.
Yeah, and also to your point about not having too much mobility and the pit hag not really having a ton to do, I think Barber is also a good player. I don't like particularly think works and is interesting with Lil Monsta. Like the I think the most useful thing for the evil team, or at least the most obviously useful thing for the evil team, is moving the demon to a less likely execution later. That's kind of Lil Monsta's whole thing. I think Hatter is a more interesting kind of use case for Lil Monsta scripts. And I think on Lil Monsta scripts, I would probably lean towards, as the community calls it, Lawful Hatter rather than Chaos Hatter, which Lawful Hatter is, as written, the demon picks demons, minions pick minions. And there is the Lil Monsta and Hatter are jinxed.
Yeah, the jinx is if the Hatter
There
dies
it is.
and the demon chooses Lil Monsta, they also choose a minion to become. So Hatter is a way that the demon, the existing non-Lil Monsta demon, can swap into a minion holding the baby. So I mean, those are
There's
some of the
some,
things, yeah.
yeah. There's a few characters that I try to avoid on the monster skips. Mesaphes is a big one.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to have an extra evil player in a little monster game. I don't think that's necessarily wrong. It's something else entirely for the evil team to be to create and know for certain who that extra evil player is, and then hand them a baby and have them be immune to all the things that find minions in little monster games.
Yeah.
DA can also be awkward because the DA can literally follow the baby around. And if they're doing that sort of time, they're going to kill a DA relatively early most of the time because it's cheesy. But if the storyteller doesn't realize what's happening until too late, you can end up in a situation where the DA gets the baby and protects themselves going into the final day. And the storyteller has no choice.
Role swappers can lead to that too, right? Things like Hatter and Barber, and they can lead into that as well.
So just like these are the things you should be careful of in the last games and the monsters rares, like ways to let the evil team just cheese it a bit.
I would just maybe give one more thought about it, which is that I don't think most of the time you want killers. You don't usually want minions that kill with Lil Monsta. Part of the drawback of Lil Monsta, part of the thing that you're trading for getting that extra minion ability in, is evil does lose control of killing power, right? They do lose control of making kills. And so probably things like assassin, psychopath, this again, like Emma said with the DA, the storyteller's probably going to have to kill those off pretty early. An assassin holding their dagger till late, it can kind of feel bad for the storyteller to kill that off if it hasn't been used. So I think just like it doesn't love, I'm not saying you can't have it with killers, but it doesn't love killers.
Not sure I believe you with that, though.
Like maybe giving evil some killing agency back is okay. I'm not sure. I just think it's like from my perspective at least, I don't know that that's the best match for Lil Monsta. Maybe it's okay.
Yeah, I think it's mostly fine, but I think it's probably just a difference on minions.
Yeah, it seems fine. Do we want to maybe pop out and pick some characters? Seems like a thing we could do.
Yeah, anyone else have any final thoughts on script selection to fight the monster? All right, then let's move on.
All right, well, obviously we're going to put the little monster in the bag, but unlike how we usually do this, we can't put the little monster in the bag.
The app literally won't let you.
So we're gonna have to pick some other things to put in the bag. We'll get an extra minion. So we're gonna pick three minions. Where are your heads at? What are y'all thinking?
I'm going to go on a bit of a tangent because I think it's sort of funny. Because I know this episode is chronologically coming after our Hermit episode, where we spent a lot of time in the Hermit episode saying, oh, we'll talk with the logic of the Hermit's up and moving itself later. And then we never actually got around to it. So I'm going to talk with the logic of the Hermit self removing now. Because it's sort of funny with how the app works with Lunabot stuff. the way the game logically thinks of setup modification is you always first select the character tokens for the correct setup, for the standard setup. So, like, you select your TB bag and it's for seven players and it's always five outsiders, a minion, and a demon, even if one of those minions is the Baron.
Townsfolk, not outsiders. Your seven, townsfolk, sorry, yeah,
five townsfolk, Baron, and a demon. Minion, a demon. So even if your minion is the Baron, that's your default. Then you read the Baron's setup text and say, oh, I need to replace two of these townsfolk tokens with outsider tokens, and you do that. So the logic of the Hermit is, you have your setup with your, let's say on 12 players, seven townsfolk, two outsiders, two minions, and a demon. And then you go, oh, the Hermit says I can remove an outsider. And then you remove one of the two outsiders, one of which is the Hermit. That's the entirety of the logic. The funny thing is, you literally cannot follow this intended logic in the app for something like Little Monster, where what you're supposed to do is you take your bag with Little Monster and your standard count of minions, and then say, okay, now I'm going to replace the Little Monster with a minion. Literally can't do that in the app. The app won't let you.
Can't give out the Little Monster token, can you?
But, so I thought this was a nice segue for those people who were frustrated we kept teasing that we were talking about the Hermit logic and never got around to it. But there it is, the Hermit logic. And why it's funny with the Little Monster being completely non-selectable in the app.
Yeah.
Because Little Monster being non-selectable is the complete antithesis of the Hermit logic.
Imagining you're building the bag, but it's real tokens. All right, so we are going to do a Little Monster game. Sabin, you're the guest. Why don't you kick us off? What's going in the bag? Give us an idea of what we're going to put in the bag here.
So I think, like with picking the script, kind of you want to how I build my bags. I kind of these days have been randomizing the evil team, and then kind of building from there. But since we are running a Little Monster game, we can kind of just decide what minion we're not putting in, and then kind of build our good team from what the evil team looks like and what is going to be the most interesting game for our players and for us to kind of see over. I think on Dusk, and kind of in general, I think Goblin doesn't get put in play as much as it probably should. I think people have kind of swung on the pendulum of it's really good on script because people can bluff it. But because like the bluff needs to kind of be where at, like whichever evil needs it, it feels awkward to kind of put it in play, and you'd rather put a more active minion in play. So I think right now I would probably want to put Goblin Wizard and Harpy in my 12 player Dusk bag.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
I think we'll probably avoid putting Ogre in the bag for this one with the Little Monster. Like we mentioned earlier with Mzephalys, you know, an Ogre can get trusted by the evil team and give them kind of a safe place to hide away the Little Monster. So probably avoid Ogre. I think we can put in a Heretic, though.
Sure. I don't mind Ogre because the evil team has no reason to trust that. But if you don't want to put it in, I'm happy.
Emma, do you want to wax poetic about the Little Monster Lunatic?
Not really.
Okay.
The Lunatic is something that doesn't really work with Little Monster without your own janky personal house rule interpretation. If we put a Lunatic in, they're not going to see the Little Monster. They're going to see Imperdashir Legion, which is fine. I think it's fine to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just give the split the Legion token, and we don't need the loot tech yet.
Although I think with Lil Monsta as the demon, you can give a lunatic because you're going, you can decide the kills who you want to, what you want to do.
Right.
So while a lot of the time, it's a little awkward to give a lunatic, for, like balance reasons and for not, not overplaying like the storyteller kind of thing, because you have to give them a fake pick. You can do it when you're already picking the kills.
Yeah, that's fair. I kind of like a general. We had an episode previously about the general. And I think the general does help town kind of hone in on their social reads. It also works pretty well with Heretic, as we mentioned in that game. So I would probably put in a general in this bag.
Yeah, I like a general.
I think Farmer is a very nice tool against Little Monster because it's sort of something the storyteller can trigger. Good really needs it.
I also think we probably want some number of village idiots.
Yeah.
That number.
I think that number for me is going to be one, though, because I want to leave space for the evil team to use village idiot.
Yeah, I think that's right.
They're not going to have bluffs, and village idiot is something they can kind of fall into, but maybe not give them the whole space to take all three village idiots.
Yeah, and we also want good to have like something mechanical mm-hmm. that they can sink their teeth into. And village idiot is like our evil detector here that we can't, like, we don't have like an empath or anything else to kind of put in.
I think it's also helpful for town to have some anchor information to kind of start the game out. So I'd probably put a noble in the bag.
Okay.
Now we're getting down to the tricky ones.
So I'm not sure I'm going to put a Bobby Girl in this bag, but I just want to highlight it for a second to just sort of talk about Bobby Girl Little Monster Jinx. Here's how Bobby Girl Little Monster works. Instead of the minions waking up together and pointing at each other, you wake them up one by one and say, show the little monster up and say yes or no. They say yes, they get it. No, you go to the next minion. And you keep going around like that until one of the minions says yes.
If it's your first time being asked this, if you're a minion, it's the first time your storyteller is asking if you want to hold Little Monster. Even if you do want to hold it, probably say no, just so that the rest of your evil team, because you might be the first one who's asked, and it's useful for your evil team to know that it's a popular game.
It's a little
monster. Don't get asked again, or well, little monster game. Yeah, sorry. If you don't get asked again, you also get some weird meta information that probably you weren't the first one asked.
Yeah, and then similarly, I'm not sure we're going to put a magician in, but I just want to highlight it because the magician also was a jinx with Little Monster, which is, if the the magician's alive, the storyteller picks who holds Little Monster. Since, again, you don't wake up the minions together, you just wake someone up and say, you're holding the baby, congrats.
Yeah.
And that's so that the minions can still be confused with who the magician is, as they're supposed to be. But much like in non-Little Monster game, once the magician's dead, the minions now know that wasn't my demon. Same thing here.
Shall we put in King and Choir Boy? I think King and Choir Boy is kind of interesting here. Maybe put in King without Choir Boy, rather. We don't want to put the Choir Boy in because obviously we're going to decide when to kill the King, and we probably don't want the Choir Boy to learn who the demon is. But yeah, let's put in just the King.
I don't think it's wrong to put in the Choir Boy, but I also think, whereas most of the time a king should have a choir boy, with Little Monster is one of the times when it's more okay not to.
Right, you don't need it because you're deciding when they die.
Yeah. Like, the point of the king choir boy thing is to give the king a reasonable chance to make it to the big day where they start actually learning information.
Yeah.
Since you're controlling kills, you don't need to do it as much. And it can give minions something to fall back into. But I don't want to take this as an endorsement of General King without Choir Boy. In general, your evil team should be meddling that the king has a choir boy. The king should be meddling that they have a choir boy. Because most of the time, they should.
Yeah, I think that's real.
We need two more.
I just don't want anyone coming back in like 5 months saying, oh, on a graph episode of Grim Scenarios, I've endorsed King with no choir boy. I don't, because I did it. Yeah. I did it.
Clip it, viewers. Emma endorsed.
I think I want Fish here. I think getting some advice, maybe about who to kill, or maybe who, even if someone looks good, maybe lead the good team into, maybe they're the suspicious.
Sure.
And if the wizard does something really weird, the fisherman can always get some advice to try to help the town disambiguate that.
Now, having said all this and highlighted Jinx, I do want a magician or prop of yours as our last character, because this is sort of a script that's about these characters in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
these evil disruption characters. So even though it's not a magician or prop of your episode, just feel to recognize the script. Let's toss in a little poppy grower.
No, I think the poppy grower's right. That sounds good.
Yeah, I also think the poppy grower, La Monster Jinx, it feels more in tune with the character than the magician, La Monster Jinx. I think the magician, La Monster Jinx, kind of takes the agency that La Monster
promises away from them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think that's very fair.
Just go ahead and make that a blue legion for now, so we don't get confused.
Well, it can make it even less confusing.
There you go. Oh yeah, we're never going to kill anybody with that anyway, so we don't need to know its kill pattern. So we got a nice little poppy grower game here. When you're looking at this setup, what do you start thinking about in terms of what, you know, where we're going to put pings, you know, what you're thinking about the evil players and their abilities?
My first, my initial thought is I'm probably putting, I'm probably not putting the wizard in the noble ping unless they make a early wish and something like kind of they need to be. And I think realistically, I'm expecting probably the harpy or the goblin is likely going to be the mid to late game low monster carry. That doesn't, I'm not married to that idea, but I'm thinking that's likely going to happen. I think wizards tend to be a little flashier and to take up more time and take up space. So I think I'm probably going to try to, I'm going to expect one of the other two to go on later. And as such, I'm probably going to need to put one of them in the noble ping.
Let me ask you a question, sort of a philosophy question. On a setup like this, what are you doing first? Waking the minions to figure out where Little Moss is going to be, or sledging the noble pits?
I'm going to have an idea of the noble pings. Like I said, I'm probably putting the harpy in the noble pings, I think. And then I'll figure out two other goods. I have no problems putting Little Monster in the noble pings. I think executing all of the noble pings early is, on average, less useful for town. And I think demons should be able to be in noble pings. So the where the little monster goes is kind of the least concerning part. I think I'm more likely to go to the wizard and see if they want to make an early wish. That's going to be more likely to change my noble pings then.
Yeah. I think I largely agree with that. I'm normally an advocate for being flexible with your setup decisions until they need to be locked. Your night one decisions until they need to be locked. So that you can make the best game possible. But I'm also the advocate for demons being in the noble things more. So I think, like, setting your noble things, and then if the demon's in the noble things, because you didn't know they were going to put the demon, it'll make you a better storyteller in the long run. You'll see it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit on our noble episode when we did our deep dive on the noble. You know, the demon being in noble pings isn't going to die on day one. And as long as there's some mobility for them to move, you know, it's probably fine. And the little monster is all about mobility. So being in the noble ping is something that they can deal with. They can also frame one of the other people in the noble ping as evil and try to look like the one who's a confirmed good in that noble ping. And that may help them later on in the game. So being in a noble ping might even be somewhat beneficial, on day one especially, might even be somewhat beneficial for an evil player in a little monster game.
Yeah. And I think philosophically, I agree with you. I'm very happy to move whatever day one reminder tokens I've put fairly, like, until they matter, really. There's points where I'm going to, like, need to stick with them. But I think as long as the game is, like, interesting and solvable and fun for the players, if, you know, a noble nose token moved somewhere, or like a village idiot drunk fell to the other village idiot, that's fine.
And I just put the noble ping somewhere.
Yeah, it seems fine.
All right. Let's fast forward a little bit into this game. This player's been executed or died. This player's been executed or died. This player's been executed or died. This player's holding little monster. Obviously, you're going to want to rely on the social situation. But you don't have the social situation. Who are you murdering this night?
For our audio listeners, our general noble and village idiot
are
dead. I have
promised to try to do better of doing the Grim manipulation, and I failed. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
The general noble and village idiot are dead. The goblin is holding little monster. And the noble things went on the poppy grower and the lunatic, plus the harpy.
You're welcome, Brendan and Rebecca.
And Sabanite.
Yeah, I have several hundred audio
listeners. We have quite a lot. We have like 250 audio listeners who we really have to do better about serving.
I am a responsible employee who doesn't listen to podcasts at work.
That sounds right.
And I can't have my phone on YouTube at work. There you go.
So this is the situation. The general, noble, and village idiot are dead. The goblin's holding the monster. The fisherman, unspent. Wizard, king, farmer, heretic, and all three noble things of the harpy, poppy grower, and lunatic are still alive. Obviously, in a real game, you'd be looking at the social situation. This isn't a real game. But just looking at the Grim, who do you think you'd be likely to kill here?
So we're killing down to 8. The wizard hasn't used their ability.
They may have.
Yeah, you know, with what we have, if the wizard has used their ability, and it's a quiet one, I might take this opportunity to kill the wizard. There's a heretic in play, so I'm going to be a little happier to kill evil players sooner than normal. I'm a big proponent of not killing evil players until like you kind of have to with Lil Monsta. I think the good team should be killing evil players, but you do need to kill evil players sometimes. So I think I might take this opportunity to kill the wizard. There's also a Legion lunatic that's in a noble ping that presumably we've shown them a Papyrus game.
Probably.
That feels like a pretty reasonable kill at this point. If they probably think it's still possibly a Legion game.
Yeah.
I want
to finish killing the Harpy here.
I was going to suggest that. I actually think that's a really interesting idea. Harpy's a loud minion, and killing it off here means Evil may have to try to bluff another day of it.
Well, the Harpy will need their picks before they kill it.
Oh, that's right. So. They would pick before they would die to the little monster.
I'll just put some Harpy picks down on the heretic being mad at the fisherman to remind us of that.
Right. Thank you. So now we're in the situation where the Harpy has picked, two people think they need to be mad, or a person thinks they need to be mad, and now, if we kill the Harpy, it's going to make town look much more closely at those other two people in the noble pick.
Yeah, that was sort of what I was thinking, is if we kill the Harpy, the Poppy Girl and the Lunatic are going to be at each other's throats a little bit, right? Which is good for Evil. So it might be a chance to give Evil some of that bluffing space that comes from dying in the night relatively early, while putting two good players at odds.
I do think this is I think, especially with the wizard not having spent their ability yet, I do think this is a much more challenging puzzle because there is a heretic in play, and we don't want to put Evil so far behind that, you know, not so far behind. We don't want to kill off so many evils that it's more likely that good's going to stumble into killing off the demon, or that evil's going to stumble into, you know, sort of, you know, losing the game by getting killed. So we do have to, with the heretic, we do have to watch the alignment balance a little bit closely.
Yeah, but I think it's fine to kill an evil here for the reasons statement I had said.
Yeah.
I just sort of would advocate to the Harpy, I think, over the wizard with this setup.
I think so. You don't want to kill the king, the fisherman's unspent, you know, you could kill the lunatic in seat 9. If you kill the farmer, you're kind of creating the pass, which probably we don't need right here. Yeah, I just think, like, I think the Harpy makes a lot of sense to kill in this specific situation. You know, ultimately, it's on good to figure out that it's a heretic game, you know, in terms of, like, trying to kill off evils. They've lost most of their information roles also, which is something that can happen really easily in Dusk. And so they are going to be doing a lot of this off socials anyway, or off of early game information. And so that dead noble with the information on Harpy, the town's going to get ravenous to chase that information because they just don't have that much left.
Anyway, final thoughts. Who are we killing?
I think we kill the Harpy. I mean, I'm 100% behind that.
Same night.
Yeah, I'm into the Harpy or the wizard. Again, like, it depends if the wizard's made some sort of loud wish that they're obviously evil. Maybe we kill the wizard.
Alright, Harpy. We love you. Alright. I think, like, most of my other storytelling questions on this grim run, that ultimately not be much of a little monster, and more what to do with the king there, because they're both alive very late. But, so, we'll leave those for King and Heretic episodes.
Yeah, I think we've done a pretty good job of covering a lot of different aspects of the little monster. We got into the jinxes in various places throughout the episode. We remembered to tell everybody what the Grim actually looked like for the audio episode. Thanks, Sabanite.
Yeah.
All right, Sabanite, any final thoughts you have about the little monster?
I know people tend to not like giving up killing agency. I know a lot of people don't particularly. There are people who are concerned with La Monsta, whether they feel like they don't have the agency to kill. Maybe they don't like having so many minions abilities. Maybe they don't enjoy the different muscles that you have to stretch when you're playing in a La Monsta game, both for the good and evil team. I encourage people to try it more. Sometimes people get wrapped up in the, people get wrapped up in the image that something has, or the reputation that something has, and don't really, they kind of buy into that and don't give something the chance, that they deserve. And honestly, Will Monsta is like absolutely my favorite character, and I think people just need to play it more. Give it a chance. If it's not for everybody, but not every character is for everybody. And maybe you'll join me on the bring back Scarlet Woman resetting every night.
I think we've pretty much covered it. Sabanite, this is where we roll out the red carpet for you, buddy. Where can people find you? I sure don't know. What are you up to? What do you want to shill for? This is your space to shill.
Jaws STS.
You can find me basically like 5 days a week on the Grim Scenarios Discord. But you know. That's already here. Sunday mornings Eastern, 11 a.m. Eastern till usually about 1, maybe sometimes we go a little later. Join me, Walter, and Avery and Z when they're around on Jaws STS on Twitch. We play mostly, it's been Slay the Spire a lot lately, but it's kind of whatever we're feeling. Once Slay the Spire 2 comes out, we're going to be probably doing that maybe exclusively for a while. Who's to say? But come join us for that. And of course, come hang out on the Grim Scenarios server. We're a great community, and there. Run it. I'm there. If you enjoy an event there, I've probably touched it at some point.
That's true. That's so true. Team always here.
All right, folks. Well, may your scenarios stay grim.